The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
I recall one time hearing from my Rebbe, that tells the Rosh HaShavua, the Mordechai Gifter, which he said that without the joy of Torah, without the Simchas HaTorah, it would be impossible for one to face all of the enormous problems of this world. Actually, he said, I quote, it keeps one going. And similar statements I've heard also from other great giants in Torah. When I heard this, I was somewhat surprised. Because this is something which I think many people experience. I know I've experienced it many of times, this feeling. But I thought that great giants in Torah do not have to come unto this assistance of the joy of Torah to face all of the trial and tribulations of this world. It should suffice the Midas HaBitochen Emunah to have great faith and to have great trust and Gvura and strength. Smaller people like us, we have to come onto this. And that's why when my Rebbe made this statement, it was somewhat surprising to me. But one day I realized that this is a statement that David HaMelech also makes. David HaMelech, King David, says in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Yutes, Pasuk Tzadik Beis and Tzadik Gimel, Lulei Seirosko Shashuai was of Adati Ve'oni. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not for your Torah, which is my great delight and joy, I would have been lost in my affliction. I would have been totally destroyed because of sadness and depression. I will never forget your Torah, because that is what has given me life. That is what has given me the steadfastness, the courage to face this world. So it seems that great people have said this. The Medrash Shochetov, it's the Medrash Tehillim, tells us even more. On this posuk, it says, Bechein Omar Mesha. Mesha also said this in Kapitel Sam Tzarek Dalet. This is the Kapitel of Tilim, which we say, Hil Nekomes Hashem, Hil Nekomes Hefia. And the Medrash attributes this Kapitel, this chapter, to Mesha. And here Mesha is also speaking of the great difficulties that he had to face in this world. And he said, Lulei Hashem is Rosali Kimat Shoch the Duman Afshi, that if not for Hashem, who is my aid all of the time, I would have sunk Duman Afshi, I would have sunk into a place of silence, into the grave of silence. When I thought that my feet were going to give away and I was going to fall, it was the chesed, the loving kindness of Hashem, that supported me. And then he said, the pasuk which the Medrash brings, Barev Sarapai, Sarapai Bikirbi, when I have many thoughts within me, thoughts that tear me apart, conflicting thoughts, confusing thoughts, aggravation and worry, conflict, inner struggle, Tanhumecho Yishashu Nafshi. It was your comfort that brought joy to my soul. And the same word is used, Yishashu, Shashua, that David HaMelech used. So the Medrash says, we see that David and Meshe were referring to the same thing. David said, Lulei Sorasko Shashua, if not for that great delight of your Torah, Ozavarati Ve'onyi, I would have been destroyed in my affliction. And Meshe said that Berev Sa'apai Bikirbi, when I am faced daily with the enormous inner struggle, it is Tanhumecho Yishashu Nafshi. It is the delight of your Torah which brings comfort to my soul. Then the Medrash goes further. Medrash says, Paray, Melech Mitzrayim, also realized this. We have in at the end of Parshas Shemos, when Moshe came to Paray, Moshe and Aaron, and he came with the proposal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of the Hebrews, has approached me, and he said to let my people go out of Egypt, Paray said, Tichbad ha'aveda al ha'anoshim v'yasu vo v'al yishu b'divrei shoker. He said, make the avoda, make their slavery heavier on the people. Bal Yishu Bedivre Shakir. The word Yishu, Yud Shin Ein Vov, Rashi says, is from the word speech. Bal Yehegu Beyidabru Tomid Bedivre Ruach. And let them not speak so much about falsehoods. This is what Paray said. So, generally we learned it means they have, they're, like he said, near people, they have too much time on their hands, and for the servant to have too much time on his hands is not good, because then he starts to speak about all kind of things that he shouldn't be talking about. So therefore the Paray said, Tichbad Aveda, make the slavery heavier on them, so they won't have time to speak about Divrei Shokia. And the Rashi brings that this word Yishu is Deima Veshe B'chukecho Tomid, like we find by the Torah, and it's the same word as Shashua. The Medrash learns that Paray was not only referring that they had too much time on their hands. Now he was saying something else. Sforim Hoyu Lehem. The Hebrews in Egypt had Sforim. They had books that were handed down to them from their forefathers, books with Torah in it. And every Shabbos they would read and study these books. And this is what kept them going in Egypt, this Torah. And on that the Medrash said that Paray said, Tichbad Ha'aveda, make them work harder so they won't have time. Al Yishu, they won't have time to study these books. He realized that this is what is keeping them going. And even more so, the Medrash tells us The Medrash says, Kein Yisrael, Yisrael Emer Kein. All of Israel says this. Ilulei Seirosko Shashuei. Israel says, Takorish Borchu, if not for your Torah, which is my joy and delight, Ozavadati Od, then we would have been lost in our affliction. I remember hearing another time from my Rebbe, where he quoted another Medrash. Medrash says that Beketz Hayomim, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to Klal Yisrael and ask them, how did you manage to keep going? How did you manage to carry on with so much against you? What kept you on your feet? What kept you alive, not only physically but spiritually alive? What kept you from totally being devastated, from collapsing? And Klal Yisrael will answer him at the end of days, Lulei Seirosko Shashuai Ozavadati Ve'oni. If not for the simcha, for the delight that your Torah brought us, then surely we would have been lost and destroyed in our affliction. In this kapitel of Tilim, which is Kuf Yutes, that's where Dovid HaMelech praises the Torah. He praises the Torah with the entire Aleph Beis. 8 psukim with the Aleph, and 8 with the Beis, and the Gimel, and so forth. Here, he says other praises, also in this vein, right near this posuk. Posuk Tzadikei, he says, Li kivu rishoim la'abdeini, eidesecha es beinon. The wicked, my enemies, hoped to destroy me, but I studied Eidesecho, I studied your testimony. Enemies tried to stand up against me and destroy me. David had a great many enemies, especially because he was the king of Israel, or he was the crown prince. He had a great many political enemies. But Eidesecho es beinon, I would study. As Beinon means deeply, very deeply, I would study your Torah. This perhaps is referring to the Gemara in Masechta Gittin. And Gittin Dav Zayin Amar Aleph. Sholach le mar ukfe le reblozo, mar ukfe sent reblozo. Bnei odem ha'imdi malai. There are people, I have people who are giving me enormous trouble. Other Jews. Wicked people. Ubiyodi le mosrom le malchus. And I have the capability of giving them over to the government. Mahu. Am I allowed to do so? Because they are making my life a misery. Unfortunately, throughout history, many times the great enemies of the Jews were the Jews themselves. And this was a case here. Shitted vikosavle. So, Reb Loza answered him with a posuk in Tilim, Lamites, Omarti eshmaro, darke machtei belisheni eshmaro lefi machsei. The aid roshel enegdi, afolpisha roshel enegdi eshmaro lefi machse. David HaMelech said, "Guard your ways and guard your mouth from sinning, even when the rosha, even when the wicked, are right up against you." In other words, he told them, "No, just keep silent." Sholachle, komatzare li tuva v'leimatzina deikebohu. He sent him a second time, maruk v'ter blesser. And he said, it's getting so bad, I can't take it anymore, I can't stand it anymore. What should I do? Sholach lei deim l'Hashem v'yischel lei. He sent him another posuk in Tehillim. Deim l'Hashem, be silent. Hope to Hashem v'yischel lei. V'hu yapilam chalolim chalolim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight your battles for you. He will kill them. Hashkim ba'ari v'alein lebeis ha-medrish ve'in kalin ma'alecha. Get up early and go to the Beis HaMedrash and learn. At night, go back to the Beis HaMedrash and learn. And don't worry about your enemies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight your enemies for you. This is what David HaMelech said. Deim l'Hashem, be silent. Be schelelei. And hope to him. And he will fight your battles for you. Hadovi Yotze Mipi Reb Lezer, not long after Reb Lezer said this, V'nasnu la'geniva bekolar. The name of the main person that was giving him trouble was Geniva, and Geniva was taken in by the government. For some, they found something wrong with him, they took him in, and they hung him. And the Maral explains in his Nesiva Betochen. At the end, when a person places his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards him. He makes himself as part of Hashem. He places his trust in his own hands. All right, then he's going to have to do things for himself, and he's very limited. But when he places his trust in Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him. He guards him. He becomes part of him. And surely, when he places his labor in his Torah, then he becomes a part of Hashem, and Hashem fights his battles, and the Torah guards him. And this is what David HaMelech said, Li kivu rishoyim labdeini. Rishoyim, wicked people, have stood up to destroy me. Eidesecha es beinon. What have I done? I have only increased my study in your Torah with greater depth. And before Hashim, the commentary say, as beinam, where he went to search for greater secrets in the Torah. Greater depths. And this caused their downfall. Then David HaMelech says, also a posuk right near here, posuk tzadik zayin, Mo'afti serosecho, how my love is for your Torah, kol hayoyim hi sichosi, the entire day it is my sichosi, my conversation. David HaMelech said that your Torah is so beloved to me, I always speak of it. And he was always speaking in the words of Torah. In a previous posuk, this is in posuk Nun Dalet, in Os Zayin, where he praises the Torah with the letter of Zayin, here is Lamed and Mem, there he said, Zmiris hoyu li chukecho beveis biguroi. Your statutes were zmiris. Your statutes were songs to me. The beis miguroi, in the house of my sojourning, in the house of my wanderings. So there he referred to the Torah as zmiris, songs. Here he refers to the Torah as sichosi, as my conversation. The Medrash in Yalkut Shmoni, on this posuk, Medrash says, Zmiris hoyu li chukecho shemei ani b'shalvo. When David said that your Torah was a song to me, so from there I can understand that Torah was a great joy to him, b'shalvo, when he was sitting peacefully. Because when does a person sing? A person sings when he's at peace with himself, when he's happy, and things are going right, then a person sings. So when David HaMelech says, Mirus, Mirus, Hoyu Licha Chukecho, that your Torah is a song to me, so from there, what does this mean? When David was happy, everything was good, he was singing Divrei Torah. All right. But how do I know what it was when David was going through difficulties? Talmud Leimer Beveis Migurai Bemorais Umemitsudais Bevorchum Neshol. Then he says, Milus Hoyuli Chukecho Beveis Migurai. Not only your Torah was a song to me when things were good, but even when I was running from Shaul, from King Saul, or from my other enemies who wanted to kill me, and I had to run through their traps, and I had to hide in caves, also your Torah was a smiras to me. Now, this is a great chiddush. We all like to sing when we're happy, but when times are difficult, we don't sing. David said, "Zmira is hoyu lichu kecho beveis megurai." Even in my most difficult times, I sang your words of Torah. Your words of Torah were a song to me. Your study of Torah always was a delight and happiness, even through the most difficult times, the most trying times. Even then, it was a shashuai gedola. Then the Medrash goes further. And the Medrash says, this is the Medrash in Shechetev. When he said, Mo'afti Terasecho, how much I love your Torah. Vohoyu advorim eila. States in the Torah that these words should be alevavcho, on your hearts all of the time. David said, Ani heilech lemerchatz bihi imi. When I would go even to the Beis HaMerchatz, Torah was always with me. Even when I would go to the Bethels, Ani yoshon yoshein vihi imi. When I would go to sleep, Torah would be with me. Kishem shitzivisani v'hoisi imi v'korabei kol yimei chayiv. Like you commanded me, David bin Melech Yisrael, the king of Israel, he had a specific tzivui, a specific command. Everyone was obligated to have one Sefer Torah. And the king had to have a second Sefer Torah. And that Sefer Torah was Hoyse Imoi Vekorebe Kol Yimei Chayo. That Sefer Torah had to be with him all of the time. That he would always learn from it. Because the king was the leader of the nation. And the leader of the nation had to lead in accordance to Torah. This is what he said. So then, Lefi Lehinachti Sokol Iker Hoiso. Because I never gave this up, because your Torah was with me all of the time, therefore it was like a, not like a masoi, like an ol, but like zmiras, like a song. So now the Midrash is telling us something else. When he learned Torah, it was not something he had to do. It was not like a task that we do because we have to, but we do not particularly enjoy it. Now, Zmirais Hoyu Li Chukecho. It was like a song to me, not like a task which is heavy and difficult. We spoke about this in a shir not long ago. The Torah, even though it is a mitzvah incumbent upon us that we must do, but the mitzvah is that we must enjoy it. It's not a mitzvah that we must do without enjoyment. We must enjoy it, and we must have great delight in it. And that's what David said. And why was it? When does it become a delight and a joy to a person? when it's with him all of the time. Wherever I went, I took Torah with me, and because it was with me all of the time, it became always a delight and joy to me. And never was it like a masui, something, a task that a person had to do. This is why he's doing it. It was something that I wanted to do. This is what he meant. Miris hoyuli hukecho. It was a song. It was a joy. Actually, I saw not long ago from the great Rabaran Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We will quote him later on in this year on something else. This was the Kletzker Rosh Yeshiva, who in the past generation was reckoned from the forefront of that generation. And he writes that there is no doubt that someone who studies Torah with a great simcha, with a great joy, and another one studies the same Torah without enjoyment and without simcha, he says there is no doubt that you will not be able to compare the understanding of the Torah between the two. But the one who studies with simcha and enjoys what he's studying will be open to him countless vistas in the secrets of Torah and in the depths of Torah that will be closed to the one who studies merely because he has to study, but he does not enjoy what he's doing. This is the mitzvah of to be sameach ubedivrei seiroscho, the nismach bedivrei seiroscho, that we will enjoy your Torah. And this is what David is saying. Then the Midrash goes further. We said that there he called it Zmirai Soyuli Chukecho. Here he said Tzifosi Kolayom. There it was a song, and here it's conversation. What does he mean? So the Midrash goes further. Blaise Miris Bilvad. Not only was it a song to me, David said, Elagam Sicho. But it was more than a song. It was sicha, it was conversation. Shnema, as it states, kol hayayim ish sichosi. The whole day, it was my conversation. V'lechein haisa imedisli al sonai. Therefore, it stood by me against my enemies. What is meant by that? Not only it was a song, but it was even conversation. This also I heard on another occasion from my Rebbe. Zmires, that's something that a person sings when he's on a high. When a person is happy, when he has ispalus, is emotionally on a high, then he sings Zmires. What happens when he falls? What happens when he comes back to earth? Then he's silent. Sicho, speech, that a person does almost all of the time. Doesn't have to be on an emotional high to speak. Conversation is all of the time. Unless, heaven forbid, he's in a deep avelus mourning, then it states vayida imaram, then he's silent. One level is that Torah should be like a zmiris. That means that when a person is on a high momentary, a high temporary level, he cleaves to Torah. But what happens when he comes back down? That's what David said. Not only was it zmiris hoyuli, but also sichosi, he sichosi kol hayom. It was conversation also. I didn't have to be in emotional high in order to come close to your Torah. But all of the time, I was close to your Torah. And this teaches us the great dveikus, the great bond that David HaMelech had made with Torah. There's another praise that David gives to Torah, which is in a slightly different vein, and that's not in Tehillim, but that is in Shmuel. In Shmuel Beis, when Saul was pursuing David, he wanted to kill him. And then David went and at night he snuck in and he took away the sword and so forth. And then he called from another cliff on the other side, he called to Saul. So David said, this is in Shmuel Aleph Perechov Vav Posuk Yutes, Vato Yishman No Adoni HaMelech Is Divrei Avdoi. Listen to me, my lord the king, the words of your servant. Ki gershuni hayayim mistapeach benachlas Hashem. I am chased out today from cleaving to the inheritance of Hashem, because you are pursuing me and I have to run for my life. Lemor, and it is said to me, lech aved elihim acherim, go and serve foreign gods, go and serve gods of others, idols. This is what David said. Rashi brings in Chumash at the end of Parshas Ekev, he brings on the posuk Yishom lechem pen yifte levavchem, that you shall listen to all of my mitzvahs and they shall be with you, and guard yourself that your heart shall not be turned, and you will turn your hearts and go and serve gods of others, and to bow to them. And Rashi brings, be careful not to be vesartim lifresh min haTorah, be careful not to separate yourself from the study of Torah, because if you do, from there you will go to serve gods of others. Because once a person ceases to study Torah, then from there he will go to serve other gods. How do we know this? Behind David. We know this from David. Besides from this posuk. Because this is what David said. He said, Ki gershuni hayom yistapeach benachlas Hashem. I am chased out from cleaving to the inheritance of Hashem, lemor, and now they tell me I should go serve idols. And who is telling him? Given shani migurish malasik betorah, since I cannot study Torah because I'm constantly a fugitive from Shaul, from King Saul, hareini korv laved elim acherim, then I am very close to going and to serve idols. Now, this is something which is very remarkable, because we're speaking here about David HaMelech, and to serve idols, other gods, this is harei kekeve b'chol etere kula. This is as if one denies the entire Torah. And yet David said on himself that when I study Torah all of the time, then everything is fine. But once I'm in a situation where I cannot, like now, I have to go and hide and run, ki gershuni, then the Yetzer Hara comes and tells me, go and serve gods of others, and I am very vulnerable to listen to him. This is what David said on himself. So from here we see that the Torah guards one totally. If he's constantly studying Torah, then the Torah will take care of him. If not, he can be lost. So we have these two concepts. This and what David said, Lulei Seirosko Shashua, if not for your Torah, which was my joy and delight, I would be lost in my affliction.
And both are of the same, come from the same sheresh, the same source. When a person studies Torah, the Torah is the chemda genuza me'es Hashem. It is the treasure which HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds as his most beloved treasure. It comes from a higher world than this world. It was created over 900 generations before the world was created. And it was the greatest gift that Hashem gave into this world. And when a person cleaves to the Torah with all of his strength, then he is uplifted. Actually, in the Sforim it is brought, the Chofetz Chaim brings it many times, is Harehu Medaber Mamesh Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person studies Torah, he is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many times we talk about prophecies, we talk about visions, greatest prophecies and the greatest visions is to sit and study Torah, because there he is speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says Chochem Odif Minovi. We, the wise of the Torah, are greater than prophets. This is what he brings from the Zohar HaKadosh. Arei hu medaber mamish im Hashem. That's why there's such an enormous aveira is brought, that when one studies Torah and he stops in the middle to do something else. Here he's talking to the King of all kings and all of a sudden he stops. This is the great aveira of a beetle tater shalei l'sorach, of an unnecessary ceasing of learning. And when a person cleaves to the Torah with all of his strength, he's uplifted to the level of the Torah. And he is brought out of this world into a far higher and greater world, into a perfect world. And in that world is only truth and is only simcha and chedva, as it states, Hayd v'hodor, Eiz v'chedvo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hayd v'hodor, Eiz v'chedvo. And he becomes part of that world. And Or, it's a world of light. This is why the Torah is considered direction. And there he has no confusion, no distortions. It is light. States on the Oren HaKodesh, that was made to hold the Torah, it was called Oren because Kula Or, it was all light. Ki HaTorah Or. And then, he doesn't have to worry about Aveda Zora. The furthest thing from him in the world are false gods, anything that's false. He doesn't have to worry about his enemies, and he doesn't have to worry about being lost in his affliction. This is the Shashua Gdola, the great joy and delight. But when he separates himself from Torah, he divorces or estranges himself from Torah, then he falls back into this world. This world is Alma de Shikra. It's a world of deceit. It's called Cheshech, the world of darkness. The world of crookedness. The world, Olam, comes from Helam, that conceals the light of Hashem. And he becomes confused. And he becomes distorted. And he's walking in darkness. And it's a world which is chosa, which lacks. And he becomes be'atzfus, depressed and afflicted. So these are the two worlds. And he was given the Torah to attach himself to. It's interesting, I remember once in St. Louis, there they had a great Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. His name was Rav Menachem Tzvi Eichenstein. He was a European Rav. And one day in his study, a young boy came to see him. And he had a magnificent study, large, very, very large room, with all the walls from floor to ceiling covered with sforim, with books. And he was sitting with his Gemara and another long table. He had another 15, 20, 25 sforim piled on the desk. And this young boy came to see him. This goes back over to about 25 years ago. And he was a hippie. This was during the time of the hippies. He comes in, a Jewish boy, Nebuch, a hippie dressed as a hippie. He wants to see the rabbi. All right? So they were talking. And he told the rabbi that he takes drugs every once in a while. So the rabbi asked him why. He says, because it sends me on a trip. Take some drugs, I go on a trip. She asked him, what does that mean? She explained to him. Explained to him what a trip means. He says, that's why I need it. Later on in the conversation, the boy asked the rabbi, he says, why do you sit all of the time and read those books of yours? So the rabbi says, because it sends me on a trip. He says, I need it. I also need a trip, he said. Except my method and your methods are different. And this is why David HaMelech said also, where he praises the Torah, and this where he praised the Torah with the Nun. Praise the Torah with the Nun on Pasuk Kuf Hei. David HaMelech said, Ner lagli leragli dvorecho, v'or lenisivosi. Your words of Torah are a candle for my feet, and they are a light for my path. It is because of your Torah that I know where to walk. My feet know where to go. Without it, it would be total darkness. And the Medrash brings on this posuk, the Medrash Shechetov, brings a posuk from Shlaima Melech, King Solomon, the son of David. Mishlei Dalet, Erech Tzadikim Keor Nega. The ways of the righteous is like a great bright light. Derech reshoim ka'afelo. But the ways of the wicked are like a heavy darkness. So the Medrash says, Lo marashoim daimin, de misho ye mahalech v'derech v'lohi v'yode ner, v'nikshal be'evin v'nofal, poga be'ilon v'hikol b'fonov, motzo nochal nofal l'seichai, v'leho yedeh heichen humar alech. The Rishayim in this world are like someone who's walking in a way and it's dark and he has no light. He falls, he trips on the stone. He bumps into a tree. He falls into a stream. And he doesn't know where he's going. So is it for the wicked, they have no light, as it states, Derech Rishoim Ka'afelo. The ways of the wicked are dark. But the righteous are likened to those who are walking in this world and they have a light in their hand. If they find a rock, so then they go to the side of it, they go around it, and they don't fall. If they find a tree, they go around it. So did David say, Ner la ragli dvorecho, that your Torah is a light for my feet. David said, even when I want to do a sin, your Torah will not let me. But it leads my feet and my path in the right direction. This is the light of Torah. When a person attaches himself to it and he's brought up to a world of or of light. It's interesting to note that today it is common amongst many psychologists, sociologists, doctors and so forth, where they say that the great problems, a great number of these, of the great problems of stress, of stress, and all of the stress related problems come from confusion, lack of direction, lack of goals, not being goal orientated, confusion of roles in society. This destroys motivation, it destroys clarity, it destroys ambition, it undermines confidence, it undermines esteem. This is today, this is the common talk today of your psychologists and sociologists and doctors and so forth, and from here comes an enormous amount of stress-related psychosomatic diseases. It's interesting, because this is what the sages are saying, that the Rishoyim, those who live without Torah, they walk in darkness. When you walk in darkness, you don't know where you're going. You go one way until you bump into something. You change directions until you bump into something else. You go a third way and you fall into the river. But David said that Ner Alagli, your mitzvahs and your Torah were a light to me. Ner leragli dvorecho ve'or lenesivosi. Your mitzvahs were a light, a candle to my feet, and your Torah was a light to my path, to the point where I knew exactly where I was going. And not only did I know where I was going, but when I tried to go wrong, the Torah brought me back in the right direction. That eliminates the inner struggles, that eliminates the confusion. And this is what the Chazal tell us, Ein HaTorah, Ein Simcha KaTorah HaSpeikus. The greatest simcha that comes to a person is when he can resolve doubts, when he has clarity, when he can see. And then the simcha and the joy comes. And this is Lulei Seiros Koshashuai, Ozavarti Ve'Oni. If not for your Torah, that was my great joy, I would have been lost in my affliction. The days that we are in now, between Pesach and Shavuos, these are great days because they are preparation for the giving of the Torah. from the time, 49 days, we count from the time of going out of Mitzrayim, Egypt, Cheruseinu, freedom, until we reached the level of giving of the Torah. On the 50th day, the Torah was given. It was given on the 50th day because this was Shara Hamishim, Shara Bino, the 50 gates. We had to go, rise gate after gate to come to this level. However, during these days, a great tragedy took place. And this is what the Gemara tells us in Masechet Yevamos. I don't think I have the Gemara Yevamos now. It's been the Gemara Yevamos. A few weeks ago, the Gemara says, and Daf Samach Beis Omid Beis. Omru, it was said, Shnayim Osar Elef Zugim Talmidim, 12,000 pairs of disciples, Hoyul Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Kiva had, Begivas An Antiferis, they spread out through all of Eretz Yisrael from Givas to Antiferis, Bechulan Mesu Beperek Echod, and they all died during one period of time, Ibnei Shalei Noagu Kovet Zelezer, because they did not give proper honor one to the other. Behoya Elam Shomim. And after they died, the world was Shomim. The world was desolate. What does it mean the world was desolate? So Rashi tells us, Shinishtachu Torah. Torah was forgotten from Israel. Achobore Bikiva Eitzel Abiseinu Shebedorim. Until the Rabbi Kiva came to our rabbis in the south. Vishono Lehem. And he started to teach them again. He taught five: Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Loza ben Shamua. Veheim, heim, hamidu teira esashor, and they are the ones who brought Torah back to Israel. Rabbi Kiva had a yeshiva of 24,000, and the Rabbi Kiva was the one who was transmitting Torah to the new generations. And that entire yeshiva was destroyed. Then he went. He was an old man. And he went to teach Torah to five disciples in the south, Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Shimon, Lozeb, and Shamua, and they brought Torah back. Tana Kula Mesu Mipesach Varatzeres. And they all died during the period of time from Pesach to Shavuos. It's because of this, during this time, we conduct ourselves with certain types of mourning. We don't marry during this time. We don't take haircuts and so forth. Now, it seems that this is somewhat contradictory to the time itself. These days were the days of coming to Torah. These were the days of light. The days of Simcha. And at this time, now, we conduct ourselves in mourning. Why? Right, it's true. Great tragedy happened. But the mourning seems to be a direct contradiction to what these days are and should be. Secondly, this Avelus, this mourning, which is a national Avelus, not an Avelus Yochid, Avelus Rabim, it's not the mourning of an individual. The whole nation assumes it. This is an Avelus Yishono. We are being misavel, we're mourning for something that took place many, many, many years ago. Generally, we do not do this. Even when we mourn for someone that dies, so it states, Shleishim, 30 days. Yudbeis Chedesh, 12 months, the Hespit. After 12 months is Nishtakhu Hamesim in Alev. There was a decree that no longer should the memory of the departed be so vivid to us, which would require further mourning. And here we're talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago. All right, it was an enormous tragedy. But still, Nishtakhu min aleiv, Nishtakhu amesi min aleiv, the departed have already forgotten. Why should we continue to mourn? There's only one other time that we carry on a mourning like this. And this is Beit HaMatzori. This is during the 3 weeks, or during the month of Av. There is a national mourning, an Avelis Yeshona, mourning for something which took place a long time ago. And that's on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But there we can give a reason why we should still carry it on, because the Mikdash is still Bichurbona, the Beis HaMikdash is still destroyed. So therefore we still carry it on. When the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we will not carry it on. States those days will be turned into Simcha, into joy. I'd like to quote here a principle which I saw from Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, which can give some insight into this. He brings the Gemara in Chagigo. Daf Hei Amud Beis, and the Gemara there brings a posuk from Yirmiyahu, Yud Gimel Yud Zayin. Perek Yud Gimel posuk Yud Zayin. The posuk states, Yirmiyahu is saying, Bidomoa Tidma. Vesered eini dima. I shall weep tears, and tears shall fall from my eyes. Ki nishba eder Hashem, because has been captured the flock of Hashem. This is what Yirmiyahu says. Now, three times is mentioned dima, tears, in this pasuk. Vidamoa, tidma. Vesered eini dima. Three times is mentioned tears. And the Gemara wants to know why three times. The Gemara says, Omer Blazer, Shleish Dimos Halololoma. Achas al Mikdash Rishay. The first tears refer to this destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Achas al Mikdash Sheni. The second tears refer to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Achas al Yisrael Shegolu Bimkeman. The third tears refers to Yisrael and their exile, that they were exiled from their place. Iko di Amri, others say, no, the third tears refer to Al Bitl Torah and the loss of Torah. Bishlam Leman Du'amar Al Yisrael Shagolu, according to the one who says it refers to Israel that went into exile, that's what the rest of the posuk, the rest of the sentence says, Ki Nishba Eder Hashem, because the flock of Hashem was captured. El Leman Du'amar Al Bitl Torah, my Ki Nishba Eder Hashem. But if you say it refers to Bitl Torah, the loss of Torah, so what does it mean, Nishba Eder Hashem, the flock of Hashem was captured? Kivan Shegodl Yisrael Mimkeimon, Ein Lecho Bitl Torah Godl Mizeh. Since Klal Yisrael were exiled from their place, so there is no greater loss of Torah. Because in exile, when we're going from place to place, we do not have as much time to study Torah. Our yeshivas are moved from one place to the other. We do not have the peace and the manucha to study. So Yirmiyahu shed three tears. One tear for the first Beis HaMikdash, a second tear for the second Beis HaMikdash,
and a third tier either for Israel going into Golus or for Bittul Torah, the loss of Torah, Ki Nishba Eder Hashem, because there was a loss of Torah when Klal Yisrael went into Golus. And then the Gemara says we see like that because Tana Rabbanan Shleisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beich Aleihem. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, actually Yirmiyahu was not shedding the tears, he was prophesying that Hashem, the Almighty, sheds the tears. Tana Rabbanan Shleisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beich Aleihem. And it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears b'chol yom, every day, al she'ef she'lasik b'teira ve'ina isik. Whoever can study Torah and he does not study, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears on him. Then it states also he sheds tears on someone who cannot who does not have time or money to study Torah, but still he finds time to study Torah. There he sheds tears of simcha. But it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears on Bittul Torah, on someone who can study and does not. Now, what do we see from here? From here we see that the loss of Torah is equated to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and to Yisrael going into Golus. Because three times are tears mentioned, one on the loss of the first Beis Hamikdash, one on the loss of the second Beis Hamikdash, and the third on the loss of Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears on those who can study Torah but they do not. It's a loss of Torah. But then the Rebbe goes further. In the Pasuk, the first two times, V'domoa Tidma, is mentioned tears. The third time, V'seired Eini Dimo, the third time is mentioned that the tears shall fall. The first two times is only mentioned tears. Third time is mentioned the tears will fall. What does that mean? There's a medrash. There's a medrash in Medrash Tanhuma in Kedoshim Tesvov that when Esav wept because Yaakov took the brochas from him, it states, Vayisok Kele Vayevk. He lifted up his voice and he wept. And the Medrash says, Ilu Yod the Mos, Vele Om the Be'enov. His tears remained in his eyes, states Vayevk. He wept. But had his tears fallen down from his eyes, No Haisot Tekumachas for Sholom the Senen Shil Yisrael, then it would have been very bad for Klal Yisrael. He only wept to the level where the tears remained in his eyes. But had the tears fallen from his eyes, then his sar, this would have shown that his pain was so great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have had to listen to him. Because he was claiming an injustice was done. They were my brochas and they were taken from me. And then it would have been very, very serious consequences, heaven forbid, for Klal Yisrael. This is what the Medrash says. But because he didn't weep that much, really didn't bother him that much, the tears remained in his eyes, so it was all right. It wasn't so bad. What do we see from here? We see that the tear represents an anguish. When the tear falls from one's eyes, then it represents a greater tsar, a greater anguish. The first two tears, which are mentioned in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, remained in the eyes. The third tear in the pasuk, it states, "Beseired eini dima," that my tears shall come from my eyes. What do we learn from there? The first tier, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave for the first base of English. The second tier for the second base of English. The third tier for Bittul Torah, for the loss of Torah. Not only does he equate
the loss of Torah to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, to the destruction of Beis Hamikdash, but it is far greater. It is a far greater anguish and sar to the Almighty. This is what we see from here. From here we see the greatest joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest tainug to Hashem is the study of Torah. Actually, the Gemara in Aveiros Zora, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's routine? What does he do every day? It says the first 3 hours of the morning, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? It says he's Yeshiv Vesik B'Torah. First 3 hours. From sunrise to the first 3 hours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into the base of Medrash and he studies Torah. That's the first order of the day. The second 3 hours of the day, he goes to judge the world. And when he sees that the world is in a rough, in a very bad shape, he goes from the throne of judgment to the throne of Rachamim. The next 3 hours of the day, Yeshiv Zonis Kolelem Kula, he gives out food and panosa to the entire world. And what does he do the last 3 hours of the day? The last 3 hours of the day, the Gemara brings from the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The last 3 hours of the day, my Ovid Yeshiv Malamit Tinekes Shal Yeshiv Malamit Tinekes Shal Beis Rabin Torah. He sits with children and studies Torah. Which children does he sit with? Those, heaven forbid, that left this world at a young age and never had the opportunity to learn Torah. So we see in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's day, the first 3 hours and the last 3 hours of the 12 hours are taken up with Torah. First three he studies for himself, the last three he learns with the children. This is the greatest tainug that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in this world. The greatest simcha and joy that he has in this world is when Yisrael studies Torah. The converse, the greatest anguish, the greatest agony he has is when there is a loss of Torah. Every time we study Torah, more Torah comes into the world, more light comes into the world. When there's a loss of Torah, there's a loss of light from the world. This is his greatest anguish and his greatest agony. And therefore, on this, not only does he shed a tear, but the tear comes from his eyes, kaviyochu. Teiridimo, min eni. And this was on the Churban, after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, when Yisrael went into Golus, they were caused to be mevatel Torah, caused the loss of Torah. And this is why he sheds tears on someone who can study but does not study. Now from here we can understand. Rav Aaron says a few of these points, but from a few of the points he says we can carry it further. From here we can understand very well. He says this Avelus, this mourning that we do during the period of Sfira, this is not merely for the loss of the Talmidim of the 24,000. And that would have sufficed to do it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, not every year over and over and over for 2,000 years. We don't find that in other places. We'll find that when Misavel HaChurban Beis Hamikdash, we mourn for the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash every year, because every year it's Bechurbonai. Every year it's still destroyed. This mourning that we do was for the loss of the Torah of the 24,000 students, because they were transmitting Rebbe Kiva's Torah to the next generation. And when they died, a great deal of Torah died with them. There's a Gemara that tells us, Talmud Chochem Shemeis Ein Leit Murase. When a Talmud Chochem dies, there is no replacement. Even another Talmud Chacham comes, his Torah is different, his approach is different, his understanding is different, what he reveals is different. But what was lost is lost. So you can imagine what was lost in the Torah of the 24,000, and that's still lost. And this is why we mourn, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mourns on this Al Bitul Torah, on this Torah that was lost. And therefore it is very remarkable now, for we find that twice in the year Klal Yisrael carries on a national mourning for something which took place way in the past. One was on the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and the other was on the loss of Torah. Actually, when the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the Golus Yisrael, that's during the 3 weeks during Av and on the loss of Torah. And that's what Yirmiyahu said. One tier for the first Beis Hamikdash, another tier for the second Beis Hamikdash, and the greatest tiers Al Bitul Torah, for the loss of Torah. Actually, from here, I mentioned this not long ago, many things are brought on Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer. But in the Kadmeinim, in the early commentaries, they bring from Tosfos that on the 33rd day of the Omer, the plague stopped, even though death carried on longer, but the plague stopped. Only those who were already stricken by the plague died. The Chidor says they linked the 33rd day of the Omer also to Reb Shimon ben Yochai. He says on the 33rd day of the Omer, that's when Rabbi Akiva went to the south and started to learn with Reb Shimon ben Yochai, who was going to become from his major disciple to carry on this. So it's very interesting. The loss of Torah ceased on the 33rd day, the loss of the light, and new light started to come into the world on the 33rd day. This was the Lag BaOmer. Now, one final point. From all of this, we see what Torah is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what Torah is to the world. How do we come to this Torah? So, on this, Rabbanan writes, we have to have the proper kinyan HaTorah. We have to have the proper acquisition in Torah. And the purity and the wholesomeness and the totality of the Torah itself that one has depends on the acquisition that he has in it. If he has a proper kinyan, a proper acquisition, then he'll have proper Torah. But if not, then he won't. And how, what is the kinyan, what is the acquisition? That our sages tell us in Masechet Ovos. Mem ches dvorim sha'atera niknes behem. Says one requires 48 attributes in order to acquire Torah. And in these 48 attributes are all of the attributes of study and of midas, of good qualities, of good character, of derech eretz. These are the 48 attributes. From this Gemara, he says, you see something remarkable. Here, Torah Shebaal Peh, the whole oral law, was embodied by 24,000, a yeshiva of 24,000 students, and was being transmitted to the new generation. And it was lost. He says, why was it lost? One would think it was lost because they forgot the Torah. One would think it was lost because they didn't review the Torah like they should have. Or they didn't learn deeply enough in the Torah. Or they didn't learn enough Rambam. See? Or they didn't learn enough Rashba. Or they weren't brilliant enough to carry the Torah to the next generation. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, why was the Torah lost? Because of an imperfection in their characters. That's why Torah was lost. Because of an imperfection in their characters. Shalei noagu kovet zeh lezeh. They didn't give each other one proper honor. An imperfection on how they acted towards each other or how they valued Torah. That's remarkable. When we speak of Torah becoming lost, what do we mean? They weren't sufficient Gaonim. They weren't sufficient Harifim. They weren't sufficient Bekiim. They didn't study the Chaim Vriska. No, Gemara doesn't say that. They were the Bekiim's Talmidim. They were the ones who were bringing the Torah into the world. The Torah was lost because of an imperfection in their character. But how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? V'ha'olam ha'yoshomein. After they died, nishtakhu Torah. Rashi says, Torah was lost from the world. Because of an imperfection in their character, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take Torah away from the world. Yes. Because the Torah rests on one's acquisition. And if his acquisition is not proper, then the Torah itself is not proper. Therefore, it was lost. This is what we see from this Gemara. Therefore, he says, in these days are the days when one prepares himself for the Kabbalah HaTorah. How must he prepare himself for the Kabbalah HaTorah? Through perfecting in himself the kinyone ha-Torah, the acquisition of Torah, the memches dvorim, the 48 attributes shatera niknes b'hem. And with this he answers a good question. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, so it states he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And later on, Moshe says in himself, Lechem le'achalti, maim le'shosisi. Maim le'shosisi. Lechem le'achal, maim le'shosisi. He says. He didn't eat any bread, he didn't drink any water. Why? So the Gemara says, because when Moshe came up there, he looked all around. You can imagine, he's up in Moshe Olam Orem, he's up there in the heavens, and he's looking all around, and he's getting hungry, he's getting thirsty, and he wants to sit down and have something to eat, and he says, he sees nobody's coming to breakfast, and nobody's coming to lunch, and nobody's coming to supper, and the same thing the next day, and the next day. But that wasn't why he didn't eat. God, his Baruch Hu would have given him what to eat. There's nothing that Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't have breakfast or lunch to give Moshe. But Moshe didn't want to eat. He refused. Why? He says, because in this place no one eats and no one drinks, I'm also not going to eat or drink. Why? Because Moshe said that's Derech Eretz. And the Medrash brings from here, the Medrash states in Bereishis Rabba Mem Ches, it says, "Dika azlet likarto, haloch binimuseho." You come into a city which is not yours. Don't do in that city like you do at home. Do in that city like they do. This is derech eretz. This is menschlichkeit. You come into a new place. Don't carry your ways into the new place, but rather, while you're in the new place, do like they do. Ask Lakato, you come into a new city, do like they do. And that's what Mesha said. And the Gemara brings, the Chazal bring, that Mesha later on told Klal Yisrael, he says, you know, I suffered to bring you Torah. I almost gave my life to bring you Torah. Because when I was in Har Sinai, I didn't eat or drink. Now what does that mean? 40 days, 40 nights. I mean, no man can go that long without eating or drinking. So the Maral says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe special strength to be able to carry on. But why did he do that? Because evidently this is what Moshe wanted. Moshe had to refuse to eat or drink. He didn't want to eat or drink because he said, here and nobody eats or drinks, I'm not going to stand out. I'll do like everyone else does. And he suffered. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw what he was doing, he finally gave him supernatural powers where he wouldn't have to eat or drink. From here we learn the quality of Midas Derech Eretz, the Gemara says. You come to a place, you do like they do. Now Rav Aaron asks a good question. Why is it that this quality has to be learned right at the giving of the Torah? I could have learned it any time. It was the giving of the Torah. He says because Moshe was coming to acquire Torah. And not only for himself, but for all of Klal Yisrael and for all of the generations following. This would be Torah for the entire world. And Moshe knew Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. That if you want to acquire Torah, there has to be a strong foundation of Derech Eretz. So Moshe was perfecting himself for this moment of receiving the Torah. And when he came to Har Sinai and he saw that nobody was eating or drinking, Moshe saw that if I do not perfect myself first, totally in Derech Eretz, then my acquisition of Torah will not be perfect. And if my acquisition of Torah is not perfect, then the Torah itself will not be perfect. And how can I bring it down to the world? So therefore, at that moment, Moshe was eingeactioned. See? Moshe was stubborn. And he says, no. He says, there cannot be a flaw in my character here at the moment of the receiving of the Torah, else it will be a flaw in the Torah itself. And that's what he told Klal Yisrael. I almost gave my life to bring down a perfect Torah to you, where I refuse to eat or refuse to drink until HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to be like the angels where I shouldn't have to eat or drink. From here, what we said this evening, we see two principles. One principle is there is no greater joy in the world, no greater light in the world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to Yisrael than the Torah he gave them. And the more they attach themselves to it, then the more they will be uplifted into his worlds. And therefore his greatest joy is Torah, and so is it by the person. And that's what Dovid HaMelech said, Lulei Sorosko Shashuai Ozavadati Beonji. If not for your Torah that was my joy, I would have been destroyed in my affliction. Secondly, we see that to come to this Torah, one has to perfect himself. The more perfect the individual is, the more perfect his Torah will be. The greater the imperfections and the flaws in the individual when it comes to his character and when it comes to his derech eretz and to the other qualities which are listed in the Mishnah Noahs, the greater the flaws and imperfections will be in his Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest anguish is the loss of Torah in the world. His greatest joy is when Torah is nisabe, when Torah is increased in the world. As it states, that Leman Tikkai Yagdil Teirah Yadir, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants constantly that more Torah should come to the world, more light will come to the world, and Yitzhak Hashem will bring more simcha and joy to our world. We should all be zeicha to have a chag matan teresenu, a chag sameach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.